Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, folks. It is 4 minutes past the hour of 5 o'clock with your sports bros.
We're apologizing for the traffic. People are saying it is just a nightmare. There is a potential jumper out there on the overpass on I-5 and
Lombard,
and it's causing some kerfuffles out there with the traffic.
Well, it's already Friday traffic.
I know, and now you get this on top of it. And look, people
This is why you leave early on a Friday.
Well, then you feel bad because, look, a lot of the people texting in right now are not really being sympathetic to the poor guy's plight that's up there on the bridge. We hope he's okay, but I also understand why people are angry because no one wants to sit in traffic for 4 hours on a Friday and not move.
Well... This goes back to like the protesters.
Yeah.
You know, when you disrupt someone's Friday commute and tie them up, you know.
You're not getting a lot of sympathy for your cause.
You're not getting any sympathy.
No.
To the point where it could be about something I feel so strongly about. I'm with them.
But you're trying to get to
But today?
Yeah, you're trying to get to fat cobras.
Right
and you
now?
Can't.
Get your ass out of the way. So, yeah, we do apologize. We apologize for traffic here. No.
It is currently at a dead stop from Lombard across the bridge the entire way.
Yeah. That's northbound on I-5?
Well, it's coming southbound.
So southbound on I-5.
Yes.
Yeah, northbound's moving okay, right?
Well,
no, northbound is really dark red because, well...
Everyone's stopping.
Rubbernecking.
Rubbernecking, well, yeah, but... I mean, yeah, the southbound from Lombard all the way across the bridge is completely stopped.
Are you a rubbernecker?
No, it pisses me off.
Me too.
I put your foot on the gas and go right by it.
I mean, I'll glance if I have the moment, but I don't slow down. And
no, it's all darn ridiculous. Although, to be fair, it's Friday and it's 5 o'clock. That wasn't moving anyways. I mean, I-5 is right, at bottlenecks there.
And well, 5 South.
Being slow to literally not move.
No, you don't understand, Mike. Like, when you're dealing with that stretch of I-5 on a Friday, from 3 o'clock till probably 7:30, you're not going any faster than 10 miles an hour. And you throw this onto it, look, my point is it's already screwed. Let's not act like you're breezing over the bridge right now at 5:06 on a Friday doing 55, like waving at the pretty girls as you go. No, no, you ain't going anywhere.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't go that way.
We'll get off at 5 o'clock because I used to, when I lived in the center, I would go down I-5. Now I go the other direction. But we would get off sometimes early for whatever at 5 o'clock. I would just go saddle up to a bar because whether I left at 5 or whether I left at 6:30, I made it home at the exact same time.
Coming up here, an expose on the North Korean cheerleaders who just fascinate me.
I know. We need a reality show about this.
Man. Laura,
nothing about reality is North Korea.
Laura Ingram is in the news today. She goes all stick to sports on LeBron and Durant. Coming up in the club, animals are now using fire against us.
Look, it's only a matter of time.
Perhaps some artificial intelligence talk and some other stuff.
So basically what you're saying is we're all going to die.
Pretty much one way or another. Right now, though, let's get you the top stories of the day. It's the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Coors Light. When things get hot, cool off with a frost-brewed Coors Light. Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on.
Number five.
Number five.
Number five. Let's start with golf and the Genesis Open down there in L.A. Tiger Woods is struggling.
Yeah, he's falling fast.
He's not going to make the cut. He's way down there. He is 3 over today. And so just about to finish up, but he's going to go home.
Where's Bubba at?
Bubba Watson?
Yeah. Because he's playing in this, isn't he?
He's playing in the Celebrity All-Star game.
I know, but I think he was playing in this as well.
Oh, he's doing both.
I think he's doing both.
Let me look here.
I want to scroll down.
Bubba Watson tied for 6th at 4 under.
Yeah, what? So I want you to
And he's in the game?
He is in the game. Sweet. Bubba Watson is tied for 6th at the Genesis Open and is now participating in the evening time in the Celebrity All-Star game.
Fascinating.
I know. It's great, isn't
it? Okay. The leaders right now are Patrick Cantlay, Graham McDowell, and Ryan Moore. Those guys are 7 under, and yeah, there's Bubba right there. 4 under. About that. So
there's that.
Number four.
Hey, the Mets boost their rotation.
Right.
They have added former Kansas City Royal great Jason Vargas.
Now, you were pretty
More
high on this.
More old players.
Dude, Jason Vargas for the Royals was really good.
All I know is that if you're halfway decent, or at one point we're halfway decent, and you're over the age of 35, the New York Mets have a place for you.
He is 35 right now. Last year for the Royals, he wasn't as good, but he did win 18 games. The year before, let's see, was it the year before?
He was 18-11 with a.
Didn't he have an awesome first half last year?
It was last year. Yeah, he was really, really dynamite the first half, and in the second half, he sucked eggs.
You know what? The first thing I read about this when I saw it, my instant fear was, all right, whose arm is falling off for the Mets? Because the last thing they need is more starting pitching, unless, again, they're worried about someone's arm or multiple arms falling off.
Well, right now, Robert Gsellman is their 5th starter, so Vargas at least probably better than him.
Like, what's with Zach Wheeler?
Well, he's there. I think it's because Matt's is still hurt. So,
yeah, pre-All-Star, Jason Vargas was 12-3 with a 2.62 ERA. Remember he made the All-Star team?
I don't remember that.
Post-All-Star, 6-8, 6.38 ERA. Mm. So you can have him. by the way, the Mets win total over-under is 81. You know what the Mariners is?
What?
81.5.
Really? I sense a bet.
That's a battle.
If the Mets rotation doesn't die, they should be good.
So we're finding out who was last in the NBA All-Star draft. And do you have any guesses?
Yeah, I said Kevin Love.
It was not Kevin Love. It was...
I guessed Al Horford.
Reportedly, Horford was one of them. The other one? LaMarcus Aldridge.
Really? Does anyone like LaMarcus Aldridge?
It appears not.
Like anybody?
Also, Adam Silver slipped up and revealed who was the one who didn't want it televised, and it was actually Steph Curry.
I think Curry kind of came out. You figured that because Curry said originally that he didn't want to do it. Like, he didn't want to pick. So that doesn't surprise me.
You think LeBron, when he made the pick, called him LaMarcia?
I would like to. I would like to believe so.
I'll take LaMarcia. I missed a story in here somewhere.
You did?
But, I don't know. You're going to get 6 stories today.
It's a Friday.
Washington State has signed a home-and-home with Kansas in football.
Why this isn't number one, I don't know.
I know.
This vicious story. And you only have to wait until, what, 2027?
2027 in Pullman and 2028 in Lawrence.
I'm sensing a road trip and then maybe a little airfare going to Lawrence. I would like to see a game at Kansas, and more importantly...
You don't want to see a football game.
I do.
You want to see a basketball?
No, I want to see a football game. And more importantly...
Although they are dumping about $300 million into their stadium.
More importantly, I think this is my best chance to cross something off my bucket list, and that is to see the childhood home of one Isaac Ropp in the great American city of Salina, Kansas.
And the shag carpet still in that home.
I desperately want to make it to Salina at some point. This is my chance.
Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftop.
If you brought him there, Ropp... What would be the first thing you'd bring him to in Salina outside of, like, your childhood home?
What
would we go see?
Well, it depends on the time of year. We have a wonderful water park. We could go to the animal sanctuary.
I'm so excited.
We could go to the brewery downtown.
I'm hoping Mama Ropp would cook us, like, real nice homemade meal for dinner one night.
She's not too high on that.
No.
So probably not.
That's not happening. Applebee's?
What you're saying is she's not a good cook?
We could eat good in the neighborhood.
Would we be eating good?
Yeah, she just doesn't like to cook. Yeah, we could eat good in the neighborhood. Man, so much things.
I know.
Could we stare off into the distance and see Nebraska?
I'll take you to... Now you're just being stupid. I'll take you to my high school.
I'd be excited about
that. Show you all my awards and plaques and medals and trophies.
Maybe the side of the Pheasant Bowl?
I can show you the... Yeah, I could do that.
Is that field still there?
I could do that.
I'd like to check that
out. We could go to McDonald's.
Ah, the All-American
Do they have a playpen in this McDonald's?
And number one, they did actually back in the day. Number one is Kirk Daniel Cousins. This story is weird. Apparently, the Redskins could still tag Kirk Cousins because they are, quote, in the pettiness game. So what does this mean?
Okay, so they can still franchise tag him.
For like $30 million or something,
right? For $30-plus million. Now, Cousins doesn't have to sign that. So if Kirk Cousins wanted to, he could wait and just wait him out and then, you know, get towards, you know, a week left in camp, sign it, and then be like, great, I'm coming to play in Washington. And then if you're the Redskins, here's the fun part about it is you have to hold that money in your salary cap. So this makes no sense for the Redskins.
So they wouldn't do that.
They can't. They can't be this dumb. They just can't be. Because the only thing you'd achieve out of this being petty is you would hurt yourself, because at that point you would piss off Cousins, and then what would stop him from being just as petty back to you?
So according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, tagging Cousins is still on the table because the Redskins are in the pettiness game. As one source with knowledge of the manner in which Washington President Bruce Allen does business put it, Allen will try to conjure up something in an effort to salvage value for Cousins and in turn make it harder for him to hit the open market and finally get the long-term contract he deserves.
Cousins has all the power, all the leverage in this.
See, that's old Florio. Florio's shaky to me.
Yeah.
Is he shaky to you? The Pro Football Talk guy?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know how... I don't know.
I just can't believe that they could be this incredibly stupid to try to get into this. Because once that happens, that $30 million, that hold goes against your salary cap and doesn't free up until he leaves. And literally, Kirk Cousins could sit on this until the very end and then be like, yep, I'm ready to sign it. And then all that money is tied up with two quarterbacks. You would essentially have $50+ million in quarterbacks sitting on your roster.
Makes no sense.
No. Why would you ever do that?
Not going to happen.
No.
Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, download the new Coors Light XP app and earn points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and rewards. Let's learn more about the North Korean cheerleaders at the Olympics next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here is your Olympic segment for the day. I have a couple of bits of news for you.
Did you see the dude break his neck? Or yeah.
What?
Yeah, was that
what?
Yesterday? Maybe it was the day before. The guy broke his neck. They were doing that snowboard racing thing. I don't know what they call it, but that stuff is nuts. Like the short.
You think they call it snowboard racing?
I think that's. I mean, it's what it is. I don't know what the official term for it is, but it's like that short track speed skating. It's Thunderdome, man. Like, it's some scary stuff. And the dude went over a jump and just assed out, like, you know, 15 feet in the air and came down on his back and broke his neck.
No, I didn't see that.
And then he got up and finished the race.
Yeah, he got up. They said that he's not, like, I guess he's not going to be paralyzed or anything. But, yeah, he fractured, like, his sixth vertebrae.
God.
Yeah, it's freaky to watch.
Hey, the shirtless Tongan competed last night.
Yeah, he did not finish last.
Yeah, he finished 114th out of 120.
This kind of goes, I'm having this conversation with a guy today at the gym.
By the way, he did the men's 15-kilometer free cross-country ski.
Do you want to guess how long he's been skiing?
I think like 6 months.
12 weeks.
Yeah, oh, that's right, because he only had 12 weeks of snow.
12 weeks.
So his
first, he had never been on skis. And 12 weeks later, he qualified for the Olympics. This was kind of my point about the Winter Games.
Yeah, but he's in Tonga.
But this is my point. Are you really watching the best in the world? Or are you just watching the rich kids that had the chance to do this?
He's 34, by the way. He's not a kid.
My point is that he was like, hey, I want to be in the Winter Olympics. 12 weeks later, I don't think there's any other thing that you could do for 12 weeks and qualify for the Olympics.
Well, I would say that in the Winter Games, you know, Norway gets all the medals and stuff.
Yes.
you're watching some pretty badass. Yes, you are watching some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And then with the U.S., you know, like Shaun White and stuff. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the Olympics are guys like this. This guy, so he's 34 and he rented skis to train. He just rented them. And they didn't have any snow, so he only rented them for about 12 weeks. And he did qualify for the Olympics, and he did not finish last.
No.
And he competed. So this is the shirtless Tongan guy who is...
He's all oiled up.
He was the guy at the opening ceremonies who comes out without a shirt on, and he does his whole bit. So he's famous for that. But he has actually competed now in two Olympics. And he... So he competed in Taekwondo in Rio in 2016. Mm-hmm. And now he says he wants to do another Olympics in 2020 in Tokyo. He just doesn't know what sport he's going to do yet.
Yeah.
So he will have competed, if he does it, he will have competed in three Olympic Games in three different sports.
It's just like, hey, I'm going to go out and do this.
Which I think is badass.
Well, it's like, I see this too with like bobsledders. Like a lot of times, like I don't remember who it was, but someone maybe was on the Canadian bobsled team. Just decided that like they were a sprinter and they're like, oh, I'm going to go and do bobsled. And then like 4 months later, they're in the Olympics on the bobsled team. Like, there's just some of the Winter Olympics that I don't necessarily buy that you're like this world-class athlete. Like, some of the stuff, yes, absolutely, it's insane what they do, but you should not be able to train at something for 12 weeks and then be in the Olympics. You just shouldn't.
So I guess all the other snowboarders hate Shaun White. Have you read this piece?
Yeah.
New York Times Magazine did a profile on Shaun White.
I guess he's not the best dude.
They all hate him. They've always resented him because he snubs them. And snowboarders, I guess, are very...
It's a tribal thing.
Yeah,
it's
very like, bro-y. They want... You got to be a part of their...
Yeah, and Shaun White is better than them, and he's rich, and he doesn't travel with anyone.
So they built a half pipe for him. His sponsors built a really nice half pipe for him, and he wouldn't let any of them train on it.
No, and I guess like it's same thing. I was reading that skateboarding, surfing, all that stuff, motocross, any of the X game sports, it really is like a communal property sort of thing.
Yeah, they're all bros.
That when you make it big and you build the track in your backyard or whatever, you kind of have to open it up to everybody. And I guess Shaun White just gives everyone the bird and is like, nope, all mine.
Yeah. And now to the North Korean cheerleaders. There was a piece on them in the New York Times, and we briefly mentioned them because they were at the hockey game early in the games, and everybody was just mesmerized with them.
Yeah, there's like 200 and something of them, and they're all clapping together. And
so I guess the thing about them... Oh, Mike, can you see... I meant to ask you this earlier. Can you see if you can find just some audio of the North Korean cheerleaders' bits? Because maybe some people haven't seen them. They are fascinating. And so... We all know the deal with North Korea and what's going on up there.
Yeah.
Do I need to explain any of
that? No, I think you got that.
So what's wild is South Koreans are quite curious about what North Koreans even look like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how...
secretive it is.
Yeah, it's just... So they quote in this New York Times piece, they quoted a 16-year-old girl who said this is the first time she's ever seen someone from North Korea. And she's just now realizing that they are just like them. Like didn't know.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating. So
like, why would you think
they aren't right?
You know, it's not that long ago that, you know, the whole North and South thing, that whole Korean War.
Well, again, she was 16.
I know
she's very young, but
still it's look
crazy.
Like?
They're, yeah.
They're Korean. A lot of families are still split along now. They haven't seen anyone in decades, but you know, that's the weird thing. A lot of the families are separated by that demilitarized zone, but they're still families.
So we mentioned the fact that if there are any missteps out of these cheerleaders, yeah, they could be sent to prison camps. So here's how they operate. The New York Times, the article is called A Night Out with North Korea's Cheerleaders. So there are 229 of them. 229 on a cheerleading squad. All ages between like 19 and 22. And they were handpicked based on how hot they are, their height, and if they are a friend of the crown, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
It's based on who their family is because it's a caste system over there. So they're all kind of elite. They're all, I guess elite is the right word. Many of them are elite women.
Yes.
And from elite families.
Elite families, and you have to be, you got to be attractive. They don't, they screen for that sort of thing.
By all accounts, they are quite the spectacle, and they are 100% unflappable.
Yeah.
Like they are
Buckingham Palace guards.
Yes, lockstep with one another, and they do not break. They are unpaid. They don't get paid, but they many of them see the opportunity to travel as a real privilege, so they want to do it. They march single file everywhere they go, sometimes in double lines depending on where they're at, with the exact same outfits. Again, everywhere they go, they do not speak to each other while walking or waiting to walk, and they have men who shield them from interaction with strangers. You can't talk to them.
And if you watch some of their performances, you'll see it. There's a couple dudes that are just kind of sitting there, and they're kind of clapping along, but not really. And that's what that is. That's the chaperones, if you will. And I guess if you do go up and try to talk with one of them, they cho-chop you. They're like, get in your way and play like full court defense. Like, you're not allowed to take photos with them.
Nothing.
Just nothing. Like, there's zero interaction from them to others, or, you know, anyone else at the Olympics to them.
So they're bussed to and from the venues with police escorts. They're like the rock stars of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Some of the Olympians are like, what the hell? I got to get into the venue. And like, no.
Cheerleaders.
No. There's like 10 cop cars, you know, escorting these buses to the venues. They take up 108 condos, and they put two girls in each room. Mm-hmm. And each room, this is controversy, has cable.
Ooh.
And so what they've said in this piece is that there are a lot of South Korean reporters, journalists, mm-hmm. who are sneaking around and trying to, through the window, capture photos of what the girls are doing in their rooms.
Good Lord.
And there was one that captured a photo of them watching cable television.
Boy, see, and this is really irresponsible. Like, because what if that photo gets back? You had a chance that those two poor gals are going to get killed.
Well, it's already out there. I mean, and they pulled it from whatever publication it was. They pulled it. So they're really trying to crack down on this. But a couple of people have actually gotten photos.
Oh boy!
And so
this is people's lives on the line here, people.
They eat at a ballroom, which is adjacent to their condos, and they eat in groups of 30, and they march in double lines. And when everyone is done, they line up and they march back to the condos. You can't go to the bathroom. So if you need to go to, so they go to the bathroom in groups.
Jeez.
And they're guided there, again, marching all single file or double, depending on how many there are. And the men watching them smoke in groups of three. So they take their smoke breaks, and then they come back and escort the other girls, the next bathroom group, to the bathroom.
Huh.
This is how this operates. And so they can't go anywhere without a North Korean compatriot, one of those guys, or a South Korean monitor who is also there. They can't go anywhere without any in groups. So you can't just like,
yeah,
I'm going to go.
So basically, no one's defecting. I mean, that's what this is all about.
Well, but I think you could defect. You could defect because it's not like they're going to chase you down and drag you back in front of...
That's true, but I guess at the same time that your family's murdered.
That's right.
They all come from high-end families, so if you leave...
They ain't leaving.
If you hoof it out of there, mom and dad...
You can get out. Yeah. You can probably get out.
But your family's dead.
But your family's going to be dead in North Korea.
I think the dad's like, before the daughter leaves, hey, look, just in case you're wondering, you leave, we're all dead. So if you could go ahead and come back, that would be great.
Well, the other thing about these gals is they are... they're from families that are friends of the crown. I said, these are people that
support,
don't want to defect.
That's probably true, because probably life for them is halfway decent.
So the craziest part of all, it's so weird.
Yeah.
But the craziest part is still to come. And Mike has a little bit of the audio.
And after we get in with this, we didn't touch on it, but have you seen what's happened with the Jamaican women's bobsled team?
Is that the coach?
We need to talk about this, because once again, beer has saved the day. Is there anything that alcohol can't do? Because Red Stripe is the savior of the Olympics, and this needs to be discussed as well.
All right, so that's coming up. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're stuck on the Olympics here. We're talking about the North Korean cheerleaders. And just one other sort of... element to their operation out there.
Is that what we're calling it? The operation?
Boy, it's just, it's so bizarre.
Well, it doesn't seem weird that they're putting all that time and effort into, I guess, what is like a PR stunt?
Well, I mean, some people think it's a PR stunt, and then other, well, it's like there's two sides to it. Some people think it's, you know, like propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think there's another side that, looks at it as offensive. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know what.
Rob delving deep into North Korean politics.
No, they were talking about that a little bit in the article, that some people view it as a kind of a reach, like them reaching across and saying, hey, let's all get along here. And other people are like, that's BS. It's North Korea. They're doing this to.
Yeah, there's a motive behind it.
Yeah. So the craziest part, and here is a little bit of what they sound like. Again, there's 230 of them. And they sit in the stands.
Mm-hmm. And they clap and do foot motions and do little choreographed.
They have little flags that they wave.
Little bits. It's amazing the
choreography.
Yeah, the choreography and how synced they are. But if your life and the life of your parents relied on that, I'm guessing you would be in step too.
So the craziest part is that they're sort of oblivious to their surroundings. They simply just cheer like robots.
Yeah.
There was a man at one of the hockey games that proposed on the video board to his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and they just ignored it and sat, like the whole arena is watching it. It's like, yeah. And they just ignored it and sat and cheered, "We are one."
Again,
there was another bit. There was a South Korean, cheerleaders that were there, and they were dancing to something about, it's like a song by Avril Lavigne or something. Mm-hmm. And they just powered right through it. Like, there was another song on the PA, and the other cheerleaders were doing their thing, and they're just up there singing, cheering on North Korea.
Well, again, if your life depended on it, think about that. People always say, like, how could you ever do that? Or, you know, it's such a foreign concept. But think about what you would be willing to do if your life and the life of your whole family depended on you being 100% obedient and just stone face. I'm guessing that there's not better motivation than that in the world. Some may say it's torture and the worst kind of blackmail in the world, but I'm guessing it's also a pretty effective training technique.
I just wonder what those girls think.
I don't know. But honestly, maybe they have just been so brainwashed that it doesn't matter. If you got told from the time you were born that the entire world is evil, that the only thing good is the North Korean government, and your family kind of went along with it because you're one of the good ones, and you know life is halfway decent for you, no one's torturing you and sending you to camp
yet.
How are you supposed to know any different?
Well, the internet, but
they don't get the internet.
No, but there are people. I mean, there are people in North Korea. I've seen stories on people in North Korea
that are
trying to move this along and wake people up.
But when you're one of the elite families that's getting taken care of, it's hard to see, you know, maybe the downside of things.
It's crazy. Now to Jamaica.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen this, so the last time we saw the Jamaican bobsledders, there was that whole Cool Runnings thing. Remember the male team? They made a movie about it.
Yeah.
And they competed in
great movie.
Yeah, great movie. John Candy, by the way, the late great John Candy, rest in peace. So I guess the Jamaican women's team qualified for this year's Winter Games. It was a big deal, right? Jamaica bobsled team, this time it was the gals, and they were getting ready to go.
By the way, John Candy died in 1994.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Wrap your head around that.
How old was he?
I'll get that for you.
Heart attack, I'm guessing?
24 years ago?
Boy, I would
have. Isn't that crazy?
I would have said maybe, I would have gone 12 years ago. Wow, John Candy. That's disappointing. So the Jamaican bobsledders.
He was only 43.
Heart attack? He was a big guy.
Cause of death, heart attack.
Yeah. I mean, especially towards the end, he was really large. Yeah.
Anyway.
So the Jamaican female bobsled team is getting ready to compete. And then I guess I saw this story first a couple days ago that one of their coaches was told that she was no longer going to be the coach. They were going to move her into an administrative position with the team, but she wouldn't actually be working directly with the performance side of things. Well, I guess she got all pissed about this. and was like, how dare you? The team loves me. And they're saying, no, no one liked you. No one supports you. You know, screw you. And this turned into a real nasty thing. Well, the problem is, evidently, she owned the bobsled that they were using. And so she did not accept the demotion, I guess, in her eyes, being moved up to the administrative side of things. And she was threatening to take the bobsled home. So this was like 2 days ago, this story broke. And no one really will confirm what exactly happened going forward, but there's a lot of speculation. So the threat was there that if you do this, I'm taking the bobsled, I'm going home. You're not going to have a bobsled. Well, Red Stripe, you know, the beer, which is owned by Heineken.
Couldn't they borrow one from another? I mean, this wouldn't be a problem.
And these things are thousands upon thousands of dollars.
They really, another country wouldn't loan them a bobsled?
No.
One that maybe is done competing or something?
It's a beat up bobsled. It hasn't even started yet. Like the competition, so you've got your own bobsled. You can't be loaning out, even if you had a spare, because what happens if something happens to yours?
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be another bobsled somewhere. It's the Winter Olympics.
So Red Stripe, the beer owned by Heineken, you know, they do those Jamaican ads.
Yeah.
So Red Stripe, I guess,
huge in Jamaica.
You know what?
Red Stripe is huge in Jamaica.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So they send out a tweet to the Jamaican bobsled team saying, hey, guys, we got you covered. We'll get you a bobsled. And people kind of thought it was just a humorous thing. Well, it sounds like Red Stripe and Heineken actually bought them a new bobsled. Because originally it came out where people were questioning whether it was her bobsled or whether she had rented it or exactly what was happening. But I saw a story today saying that indeed they got a new bobsled from Red Stripe and they've never driven it before. And they're desperately trying to like kind of practice with it and get used to it because they have to make their Olympic debut in a sled that they just got.
So what if they win with the beer bobsled? Does this start a run of beer bobsled?
Well, I guess they're not very good. So
the Jamaica team?
Yeah, it's a feel good, like the Cool Runnings thing. No one's winning a medal. They're just happy to be there. But I think it's great that we had a coach that got fired and literally took her ball, or in this case, the bobsled, and went home. And once again, beer has shown us the way and has stepped up and have saved the day.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. Is there anything that beer can't do?
Wow.
All because Red Stripe was like, hey, we got you.
Yeah, so I hope they don't. I mean, should my hope be that, as long as it's realistic, be that they don't finish last?
Yeah, I think
that's what I'm hoping for.
I think that's probably the goal.
Well, I'll be pulling for them. This is the female team?
Yeah, it's the female team.
I love it.
Says, we're hopeful. This is a guy from Heineken that owns it. Says, we're hopeful to have this finalized as quickly as possible. We've been working with the Jamaican Bobsled Federation to get the final price, but the team will have their sled. Official training heats for women's bobsled will start this weekend.
See, there you go. The Jamaican Bobsled Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they not supply another bobsled? Why does Red Stripe have
to
do this?
Maybe they don't have another bobsled, Rob.
They just said that they got it from them. Like, why would Red Stripe have a bobsled? They went to the Bobsled Federation to get the bobsled.
Well, they paid. They told the Jamaican Bobsled to go buy one, and I guess they'll pay for it. So I don't know if this means that the Jamaican bobsled like wasn't going to be willing to do this, but Red Stripe is paying for their bobsled.
You're telling me that the Jamaican Bobsled Federation did not have another bobsled other than the one that they were going to compete with.
That's what it sounds like.
And that may be true. What?
It's Cool Runnings.
Well, that may be true because the woman owned the one that they did have. They didn't know.
Supposedly, like if you watch the movie Cool Runnings and then you read kind of about it, like this is not like a big operation, man. It's just a handful of people that like got together in a garage and were like, hey, let's try to get to the Olympics on this. In case you didn't know, not a lot of bobsledding going on in Jamaica.
All right.
So it sounds like they really did have one sled. This lady took it and Red Stripe's buying him a new one.
If there is a Jamaican Bobsled Federation, which it sounds like there is.
Yeah.
I would think that the one thing that they may have in their closet, the one thing would be a bobsled, but that's crazy.
Well, the report is that she didn't even own it. The report surfaced on Wednesday that this gal that got fired, or I guess demoted and she quit, there were reports that she didn't even own it, that she rented a bobsled to be used for the competition, but she won't directly address what happened with it. So no one really knows the dynamics other than it sounds like they needed a bobsled and Red Stripe stepped up.
All right. Coming up next, Laura Ingraham goes all stick to sports on LeBron James. We'll tell you what she said next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
And finally today, before we move on to the club, Laura Ingraham has chastised LeBron James and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of blowback on this one.
Yeah, she said, so LeBron and Durant were in a car with, God, I don't know. Oh, it was Kerry Champion, I think, ESPN.
Yeah.
They were doing some bit, and LeBron and Durant were talking about Trump. They didn't like Trump and this and that. Well, Laura Ingraham played it on her show. She's on Fox News, and she said, I'm numb to this commentary. Like, they must run their mouths like that. Unfortunately, a lot of kids and some adults take these ignorant comments seriously. Look, there might be a cautionary lesson if in LeBron for kids. This is what happens when you attempt to leave high school a year early to join the NBA. And it's always unwise to seek political advice from someone who gets paid $100 million a year to bounce a ball. Oh, and LeBron and Kevin, you're great players, but no one voted for you. Millions elected Trump to be their coach, so keep the political commentary to yourself. As someone once said, shut up and dribble.
Ah, yes, the old stay in your lane, you're too stupid to comment on anything.
The stick to sports.
Yeah, bravo.
Which we get that all the time.
And they're just he's getting killed. Like Chris Long and a bunch of other people have chimed in on this.
They're tweeting pictures of them using celebrities to share their political beliefs on Fox News.
Yeah. so like when Tom Brady wears a Make America Great hat, you know, then that's the greatest thing in the world. But if you go against it, it's just.
And she's a big, some people have been pointing out that she's a big sportser on Twitter. She's a big Nationals, Wizards, and I think a Redskins fan. So she's always on there talking sports.
No, stick to politics. Whatever she, the hell you do on your show.
Joe Namath was on Fox News.
Okay. Really?
In the past, yes.
The great Joe Namath, huh?
Red Auerbach.
Clint Eastwood, of course.
I'm guessing there's a lot of white people.
Ted Nugent, Chuck Norris.
Hold on. She said, she released a statement said, in 2003, I wrote a New York Times bestseller called Shut Up and Sing, in which I criticized celebrities like the Dixie Chicks and Barbra Streisand, who were trashing then-President George W. Bush. I've used a variation of that title for more than 15 years to respond to performers who sound off on politics. I've told Robert De Niro to shut up and act, Jimmy Kimmel to shut up and make us laugh, and just this week told the San Antonio Spurs' Greg Popovich to shut up and coach. If pro athletes and entertainers want to freelance as political pundits, then they should not be surprised when they're called out for insulting politicians.
As opposed to if you're... So who is allowed to comment on politics then?
Yeah, that's kind of the question.
So if you just have a political show, only then can you comment on politics?
Clearly, Kid Rock.
Yeah,
right, and right. John Voight.
Right, right.
John Voight. If you agree with my
Bob Knight
philosophies, then we love it. But if exactly. you're against it, then you need to stick to whatever.
Yeah,
this is the only thing I don't understand about the whole. If someone disagrees with you politically, then you have to hate them, right?
We do now. That's...
So, like the Dixie Chicks, like they came out and said that. That means that you can't like the Dixie Chicks and you can't ever buy their album. Or on the other side of things, like if Kid Rock supports Trump, then Kid Rock is the worst human being alive, and then we can no longer listen to Kid Rock music. It's fascinating to me that we've reached this point of view now in our country where that if you don't agree with me politically, then that means that I'm a terrible human being and you can't support anything I do. I'm fascinated by this. It's like the person that says you get this a lot. You're a little more political on here than I am, but you know we both share our politics from time to time on here. But like if you criticize Trump or if I criticize Obama, then we get the inevitable. Well, I'm never listening to you again. And so you enjoy our show. You like us as a sports show. You like our personalities. You've been listening to us for years. But if one of us says something that you don't agree with politically, then you can never listen to our program again. Are you that thin-skinned? Are you that fearful of an opposing point of view that this is where we're at now? Yeah. That fine, you don't agree with me. Well, F you. We can't ever talk.
It's pretty crazy. But it's the same. It's the same. Look at my girl, Katie Nolan.
Yeah,
love you, baby.
You and Katie.
It's the same. It's like bringing it back to sports radio when we get the stick to sports thing.
Yeah.
It's not even politics. It's just like we're talking about animals or something.
Yeah.
Stick to sport. It is clearly, and it's the same thing that goes with Laura Ingraham. It's clearly a fear-based, basic human reaction to hearing something that either makes them uncomfortable or that they don't like.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's the most basic way to just to put up a wall and say stick to basketball or stick to sports. Yeah. It's like
it's a knee-jerk easy reaction.
God forbid you actually have a conversation or you hear what they're saying or you retort or no, it's the wall, it's the straight up wall.
Yeah.
Stick to sports because it's just really lazy, yeah. Right? It's like, it's just, but it comes from that basic fear-based reaction. That's what that is.
And you want to put everyone in a box, right? And I think, you know, I'll give us a Barry Horowitz on the back that, now you're more liberal than I am in general. I'm more conservative than you are. But I think we're both real human beings that don't just go, I don't think either one of us can be put in a box and say that you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're a conservative, you're a liberal. It doesn't work like that. And that's the part that bothers me the most is if I agree with liberal philosophies on one thing, then I'm a commie bastard and I'm the worst human being alive. But if I agree with conservative principles on some things, then I'm a racist. And I'm just, again, a horrible human being wherein you're not allowed almost anymore to just be an independent thinker and say, I agree with some things from the right and I agree with some things from the left. It doesn't work like that. We only see things in black and white. It's no longer any sort of shades of gray or middle ground. And it's disappointing to me. And quite frankly, it's disheartening because it's not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse.
Well, it's getting worse because that's how the current administration operates. Like they want it that way. That's like part of the bit.
Draw the hard line.
And it's also, media has a lot to do with it. But I also think, too, that those are a lot of people that are on the fringes. I just don't think that's the majority. I think the majority are on both sides, yeah. Are just, you know, reasonable people that have varying opinions. And I think we just get the extremes now on TV and in social media and stuff.
Yeah.
When it's not really like that. It's like most, you may get, I mean, I haven't looked at the text line here, but I'll look at it at the break, and you may get that guy who's yelling at you. I'm telling you, that guy, he's in 10%.
Well, this
the other night, you see what I'm saying? Like the other 90%, they're like, okay, I get what Sook said there. Let's move on.
I hope so, but man, I'm starting to lose faith. I want to believe what you're saying, but it's getting harder and harder. Or we just do what this guy says. How about you jack donkeys just stick to turtle sex noises?
Well, what?
I think that's Dirt and Sprague that were doing the turtle sex noises.
Yes, that is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh.
I can do this for you.
Yeah, we do dolphin stuff.
Yeah, we all need to just smoke more weed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've decided.
Edibles, gummies.
Yeah, let's do this. Okay.
The oils, if you will.
Coming up next, let's see. I have a little leftover audio from the NBA All-Star Weekend I want to play for you.
Okay.
Just a little tiny bit.
Just give you a taste.
We'll talk some artificial intelligence and more animal news in the club next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.